to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 12. A few weeks ago, I went through a couple of lessons, or maybe one lesson, out of the Bible, talking about some fools that God called people a fool. And one place was in Psalms 14, in verse number 1, and in Psalms 53, in verse number 1, God said these words, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." This person that God was talking about is somebody that they've been given light. They've weighed things out in their mind. They've thought it out and they've come to a conclusion. They've decided that there ain't no God. And they've kind of crossed the line with God. And God called them a fool. And with all the evidence, I tell you what, one of the biggest evidences that we've got, Brother Tim, to know that there's a God, you can look in the mirror. Yeah. Amen. And you know, realize that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, as the psalmist said. We didn't come out of no monkey. And, I mean, that's about, it looked like they could have come up with something better than that, don't it, Brother Randall? A monkey. Well, them poor old monkeys that's still over in the jungle, they got left out somewhere, didn't they? And they ought to be offended by us. But anyway, unbelief. You know, there's a lot of dangers in this old world today. You know, there's people that's, you know, they're scared to death right now about a nuclear war. There's folks that's panicking over climate change, which is a big hoax in my opinion. He's still in control of this planet. And when he says it's enough, he'll destroy it. And there's so many things to be fearful of, but you know, unbelief. Unbelief is the most dangerous thing in the world today. It's not COVID, it's not disease, it's not cancer, it's not nuclear war. Unbelief is the most dangerous thing to a human today in this old world. And so it's a battle that's going on. If the devil, he's doing everything he can to destroy faith. Amen. And he's infiltrated the schools and places of young people, and he's going after the minds of young people to get them to not believe in God. And so it's our responsibility as parents and grandparents to let them know that our Redeemer lives and demonstrate our faith before all these young people. Let them know there is a God that we're going to answer to one of these days when we leave this world. And they need to be saved as they journey through this life right here at some point in time. And so God said, the fool has said in his heart, you know, there is no God. And then we see him, this the fool in his reasoning. Then we see a fool in his rejection. In Romans chapter number 1, I'm just going to touch on these things right quick, like, and then I want to get to another fool the Bible speaks about. In Romans chapter number 1, we see a fool and his rejection. Can I say this? That if you reject God, that ultimately He'll reject you. He has no other choice. But you'll find in this thing about of a fool and his rejection, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that they were professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Why did they think they were so smart? Well, they rejected God's Word, they reject God's wisdom, they reject God's works, and they reject God's worship. They love darkness rather than light. If you read chapter number 1 right there, you'll see the reason. People reject God because they love darkness rather than light. And they won't come to the light because they're so caught up in sin. And then in verse number 24, the Bible says, God also gave them up. In verse 26, the Bible says, God gave them up. And they keep rejecting God, and so God will ultimately reject them. In verse 28, it says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That is to say that they've crossed the line with God. They've rejected God, and now God has totally rejected them. Sad thing to say about a person that's had an opportunity to know the living God and have grace given to them through faith and be forgiven of their sins and live for God, to be in a position where God has said, okay, go your way, I'm through with you. It's awful, isn't it? Sad thing. And, you know, there's people, no doubt, in this world that's like that. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 12, says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This old world's a sinful place, isn't it? It's getting worse every day, too. You read Romans chapter 1 right there, and you see the progression of how people turn on God. They turn, the wickedness just keeps growing and growing and growing. And God will strive with man for a while, but He won't strive always. Amen. And so tonight, we see a fool in his reasoning, a fool in his rejection. But tonight, I want to look in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and look at a fool and his riches. A fool and his riches. We live in a day today when, you know, parents are doing everything they can to raise their children and see them successful in life. But children have got a soul. And parents better get concerned about their children's soul and not so much about their success. And I want kids to be successful. I want them to prosper in life and have things in life. But they've got a soul that needs salvation. And that should be our number one concern as parents, grandparents, brothers or sisters or whatever relation we are to somebody that's lost, is to see them saved. And so I want to talk a little bit here about a fool and his riches. I want you to notice right here, as we go through these verses one by one right here, I want you to notice something in verse number 13. The Bible says, as Christ had been teaching right here and speaking, you see a lot of verses written in red through these chapters right here. But the Bible says right here in verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Can I tell you what that verse tells me? It tells me that somebody died. And somebody had some possessions, no doubt. And I see that two brothers right here are divided because of the inheritance that they're, you know, yeah-yeahing over, fighting over. You know, I've seen a lot of families get in that condition. Amen. Boy, when you go to laying out possessions and money and material things and somebody passes away, man, a lot of families get in a squabble about the, you know, what's mine, you know, and what's yours. And that's what was happening right here with these two brothers right here. He came to Jesus, and he didn't say, Lord, I wish you'd show me how to inherit eternal life. No, he said, Lord, I want you to show me how to inherit more than my brother's got over here. He was more concerned about material things than he was his own soul. But now he goes on right here. Jesus deals with him right here. Verse number 14, he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? In other words, Christ, the Bible tells us that Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. His main goal as he left heaven and came into this world was to go to a cross and die and to save lost sinners. He said, I'm not a judge over your material stuff. I'm a judge over your soul. He had a lesson to teach these two young men right here. You'll notice right here in the next verse right here, he said unto them. No doubt they were both standing there that day. He said, I've got something to say to both of you right here. I want you to listen real carefully to what I've got to say to you. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. He said, take heed. I want you to listen to me real carefully, boys. Take heed and beware. It's a warning. You better listen to my warning, he's telling these two young men right here. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Now, we'll look at folks and we'll kind of examine them, see how successful they've been in life, see who's got the best car and who lives in the biggest house and who's got the most toys in life, don't we? Amen. But Jesus said that's worthless. Man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of things which he possesseth. It must have been a shock to these boys to hear, you know, the one that they came to wanting to settle a squabble right here in the family right here. But he had something strong to say to them. You better take heed, boys. Take heed. Because these things right here you're fighting over ain't worth it. Amen. You know, that happens to a lot of folks in life. And he's got some more things to say to them right here. Notice this right here. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetous, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Wonder how them boys was raised up. Wonder if they had godly parents. You know, I just wonder, you know, it's so essential that we teach our kids right. Teach our kids not to be greedy of gain in life. There's something that's much, much more important than the things of this world. And teach them to be godly. Teach them to grow up to honor and respect the house of God and the man of God and to be humble and just teach them what thus saith the Word of God in life, and it'll make a difference down the road in their lives. There's so great a need for that in the world today. You know, there's so many kids today that's being brought up in homes where the parents know nothing about God. They're not raising their children in church. They're not teaching them things of God. And that's what's got this country in a mess today. Amen. Kids are likely going to follow in parents' footsteps. If parents are hit and miss at church, then your kids are going to be that way. If church is not important, if God is not important enough in your life to get you to the house of God, then and you're raising your children that way, then, you know, they're going to grow up and be the same way. Or maybe even worse. So think about it. Think about it. The only reason these old boys, I think, came to Jesus, they wanted him to settle a squabble over some material things. But Christ was interested in their soul. And so we had something to say to them about their soul right here. Notice this right here. They had their priorities in the wrong place. Now, the next verse right here, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. This man, the Bible says right here that he was rich already. Rich already. And his ground, the ground that he had, or maybe the farmland he had, brought forth plentifully. He had a big gain in his crops that year. But notice what Jesus had to say. He was rich already. He was blessed. Blessed already. And now his ground has brought forth even more in abundance of plenty. And his bounty, his ground, he had gain, he had plenty. But notice this right here. If we go on and read this right here, the Bible says, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You find this man right here, he was all about I. What I'm going to do and what I've got about his material possessions right here. He had no attitude of gratitude. He didn't look up and thank God for all his blessings and the things that God had blessed him with. And you don't find him, you find no humility in this man's life. No thanksgiving. No honoring God for God giving him the increase, the things that he had that day. And You know, that's the way a lot of folks are today, just to be honest with you. I appreciate people that'll work hard. God expects it out of us. God expects us out of a person to work and to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. And God honors that. But you know, if we've got a job, if we've got something to do that gives us an increase, whether it be little or whether it be much, when God puts something in our hand, when God puts food on our table, a roof over our head, then we ought to humble ourselves before Him and give Him thanksgiving for what He's done. We could be flat of our back, not able to work. But God's been good to us, hasn't He? Amen. God's been more than good to us. And I don't see this man humbling himself. I don't see him saying, well, God has given me, He's made me rich, He's given me an increase right here. I'm going to give back to God. He had no respect, no honor in God at all in his life. Jesus was talking to these two young men right here. He has stern words to say to them. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Then he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, if you look back in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6, you'll find that Jesus teaches about laying up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. And he cautions mankind about that. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt, thieves don't break through and steal. He goes on for several verses and he speaks about serving God and serving mammon. He says you can't serve two masters. You're going to love the one and hate the other. In other words, he's talking about serving God, a spiritual side of our lives, and then the material side. And he said, don't let the material things overtake the God things. Amen? And he says something in a verse right here that God has really proved to me in my life. And in chapter number 6, I want you to see this right here. And you can prove God. God's Word's true. He'll always keep His Word. When He speaks about all the things that man takes thought of and the needs that man has, and He's laying a case out right here that God is going to take care of His children. Amen. God's going to take care of His own. In verse number 33 of chapter 6 of the book of Matthew, He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen now. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what? There's not a more true verse in the Bible than that. Amen. In Philippians 4:19, He says, but God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. You know what our trouble is? We got a lot of wants. When God said He's going to take care of our needs, He didn't say He's going to take care of our wants, did He? And you know, in this day that we live in right here of materialism, we get our eyes set on things of this old world. But God said, I'm going to just take care of your needs. But He wants us to seek Him and His kingdom first. Put Him first in your life, and He's going to take care of you. You may not have everything you want, but you'll have everything you need. I guarantee you that. And I've been saved for 40-something years, and I can say that God has been true to that verse in my life. He's added things to me. If I just simply put Him first, He'll do things for me that I don't even ask for. You know, when Solomon asked God for wisdom, and he asked God for the ability to lead the people of Israel, Solomon humbled himself before God, and he didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for riches. You know what God said to him? He said, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you the ability to lead the people. I'm going to give you that wisdom. He said, and because you hadn't asked me for riches, he said, I'm going to add that to you also. You can find that in your Bible, and it'll be a little clearer than what I stated it right there. But God gave Solomon great riches simply because he had his priorities in the right place. He wanted to serve God. He wanted to serve his country. He wanted to serve the people of God. And so God said, I'm going to take care of you. And he did, didn't he? Amen. But we have to get things in perspective in life. Don't let materialism get above God in your life. You're heading for a fall if you do. You're heading for big trouble if you do. God can knock the blocks out from under you just as quick as he set them up. Amen. He sure knows how to do it. He knows how to bless, and he knows how to take blessings back. But notice this. Even the old man, the rich man there, you know, I imagine he stayed in the house all day and had servants all around him. He had some servants, no doubt, out there plowing fields and gathering crops and doing things for him. He wasn't even thankful to them. He didn't even mention all the work and labor that they put in. It was all about me, 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 and I. Life ain't about me. Amen? I belong to the Lord. And I'm His. And any blessing that comes my way comes from His hands. Same way with you. And we ought to be thankful, thankful, thankful for all He does for us. You know, I'll go home in a little while. I got a bed to lay down in. And I'll have some leftover spaghetti for supper. And I'm thankful for it. You know, Brother Tim, before I eat it, though, I'm going to bow my head and I'm going to thank the Lord for what He's done for me and how He's blessed me and how He's provided for me. God's been good to me. His blessings, His bounty, but His blindness. He was blinded by success. You know, it's easy. There's so many verses in the Bible warning mankind about the deceitfulness of riches. And you know, people get rich and they get caught up in the things of the world and they don't have time for God anymore. I've seen Christian people get like that. You know, you get so many toys and so many things in life, and church, it becomes a distraction. It becomes a hindrance. So we better beware. If God blesses us, we better humble ourselves and be thankful for what He does for us. This rich man, he became blind to his success and to himself. And so God had to bring him down a notch right here. Notice this right here. His bounds now. Verse 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, in Matthew 16:26, the Bible says this, For what's a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Think about that verse. Jesus said, if a man gains the whole world, if you own the entire world, and it come time for you to go out and meet God as a lost person, as a lost soul, Jesus said, what would a man give if he could look over into the pits of hell and realize he's fixing to go into that pit right there? What would he give to stay out of the pits of hell? Everything. He'd give the whole world to get out of spending an eternity in a devil's hell. Something to think about. The rich man and Lazarus. That story in the Bible. He never gave any thoughts to God. He had Lazarus there to even be a testimony to him. And yet he kept stepping further and further in life till he stepped off into eternity and wound up in a devil's hell. Rejected Christ. His riches, I think, had blinded him. The success and things of materialism had blinded him. The rich young ruler that went to Jesus one day said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus began to talk with this young man. And he mentioned about, you know, keeping the commandments. And he said, "Well, I've kept them from my youth, man. I'm a good boy. I've kept them all," he said, which was a lie. And nobody can keep the whole law of God. If you offend in one point, the Bible says you're guilty of all. Then Jesus, you know, he knew his heart. And if he could have laid out, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 to get eternal life, man, he'd have whooped it out and paid. But Jesus told him, "Go and sell all you have, give to the poor, come follow me, and you'll have life." And the Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had much possessions. He couldn't, you know, his possessions had him. And, you know, that young man went away probably in hell today. You know, riches, Jesus said to thou fool, you've let riches become a hindrance to your eternity. So I challenge you tonight. You know, these are strong words that God spoke to call someone a fool. A person that doesn't realize they've got a soul and their soul's going to spend eternity somewhere, that's a foolish thing. We're going to meet God. And we're not even promised tomorrow. We better be ready to meet Him. Amen. Don't let the things of this world distract you in life. Even if you're saved, don't let the things of this world steal your service back, you know, to God. Because it'll do it. We're debtors to God's grace. Amen. We're debtors to God's grace. Always will be. But one day we'll get to bow at His feet and thank Him for what He done for us on Calvary. Amen. I appreciate you being here tonight.